I hope, brothers and sisters, and beautiful non-binary friends, that you're already aware of the deep love and affection that I hold for this church, its vision, its people. The past 7 years of employment have brought me deep awe at the goodness and diversity of God, and I have been changed. It's with considerable grief that I find myself here today, able and wanting to resign from my position as your pastor of Connection and Care. I've witnessed at New City Church the lively heartbeat of Christ in widely diverse and wildly creative community. I've enjoyed this work. It's hard, but I've really loved it. You all have stunned me with the vibrant ways you proclaim God's goodness in who you are and how you live out the gospel. But friends, I'm tired. The accumulated weight of serving at New City, along with growing divergence with methods for leading as a pastoral team. Thank you, LaMaffa. Appreciate it. The accumulated weight of serving at New City, along with growing divergence with methods for leading as a pastoral team, has led me to realize that I need to step away. I need a prolonged season of detachment, rest, and discernment to decide how to move forward with my pastoral vocation wisely. And I understand that my departure from pastoral presence will cause feelings of loss in the community. I and you all, we're familiar with feelings of loss. But I sincerely believe that God's work done God's time in God's way will never lack God's supply. I sincerely believe this because I'm still standing here and breathing. And after all the rough road that we have traveled together and all the losses and gains of the past decade, I still have breath in my lungs to say hallelujah. And as long as I'm still breathing, I'll say hallelujah. I have hope that God's goodness is at work, inspiring new life and healing among us. So let me pray for us all before I start. Lord, I pray today that you will give us all the eyes to see and the ears to hear your Spirit breathing healing and new life among us. Friends, today is my last day as your pastor, and I sincerely believe that God has a word for my heart, and hopefully yours as well, from the very last psalm in the book of Psalms. So turn with me now and follow along however you'd like in Psalm 150. I'll be reading it aloud from the NIV. You can find it on the screen. It's in your Bible apps. It's in the Bible. It's the last psalm, Psalm 150. And you may even remember it from Sherry reading it this morning as the call to worship. So hear these words, Psalm 150. Hallelujah! Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And with that, the book of Psalms ends. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, are we all doing okay with the relational thing that's happening here today in this space? I'm feeling it. I'm checking in with myself emotionally. I'm checking in with you all emotionally. But right now I'm going to set aside the feelings and I'm going to nerd out just a little bit about this text because it's really fun. First, a little bit of some context and literary features in the text. The ancient Israelites were a people who formed their cultural identity around worshiping the one and only God named Yahweh, who Moses encountered in a burning bush in the desert near Moab. After Yahweh liberated the people from slavery in Egypt, they started a very long journey towards the Promised Land. And that journey has had some unexpected complications along the way. There were periods of morally compromised monarchs. There was the subtle growth of injustice and exploitation of the poor through the growing religious political institution that grew stronger and more rigid. There was the crushing despair of Babylonian exile, national disaster. But all throughout, Yahweh's loving kindness followed the people through each period. And over the many, many years of challenge, these people developed a soundtrack, a traditional body of poems and songs that expressed the highs and lows of this long-term relationship between Yahweh and Israel. At one particularly sweet time in the nation's history, around 515 BC, when the Babylonian exile had ended, and the comparatively kind Persian Empire dominated the surrounding area, the people of Israel got to return to Israel, their homeland, rebuild their temple, and resume worshiping together. It's at this time that the Book of Psalms, which did not yet exist, the Psalms that existed in the oral musical tradition of the people, these Psalms and songs were written down and compiled into the collection that we know today as the Book of Psalms. The book got compiled at a time when what the people longed for and hoped for was an apparent reality, not a hope for the distant future, at least for a little bit. Because of this, the 150 Psalms that were written down were put in a particular order that told a story that traced the community's history through various stages, through rebellion and rootlessness, towards restoration with Yahweh. The Psalms record songs about kings and conquest and exile and repentance, victory and defeat, and ultimately return to experience of God's promise and God's presence. The whole book ends, it grows and it increases, and it ends on a high note of exultation and glory because the good days have finally come after years and years of pain. Hallelujah. The people sing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah over and over. And it's one thing to say hallelujah, praise God, right after you've been delivered from slavery and right after you've been promised a bright and prosperous future. But it's another thing to say hallelujah after centuries of hope deferred. After defeat by bolder, badder, stronger armies, and after the shame and failure of your own desires and failures to live rightly, and after all the messiness of living as a human among humans in a fallen world, having your lives torn apart, your communities, the wide world, hurting, aching. It's another thing to sing hallelujah after that. The Israelites in 515 BC had particular national stories that seemed to grow to victory as they read the text, and these stories served as the background of Psalm 150 for them. But embedded in the psalm itself is an invitation for us to bring our own communal stories of complicated journeys towards hope to the place of praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This is a much wider, more universal audience that expands beyond the last page when the Book of Psalms finally closes. The story of hope that Psalm 150 points to is bigger than the story that grew up before it. Psalm 150 says hallelujah at its start and at its end, just like all five of the last Psalms in the Book of Psalms do. And in between these two hallelujahs, Psalm 150 says praise at least 10 times. The point here is made pretty clear by virtue of repetition. Praising God is good. Beyond this repetition, the high note that the Psalms keeps hitting, it poses some very serious questions for us today. Do we care to praise the Lord? Where do we care to praise the Lord? Why do we care to praise the Lord? With what means at our disposal, with what instruments in our hands, do we care to praise the Lord? The first paired line of the psalm invites praise for God in the sanctuary below and the mighty heavens above. Up close and imminent and transcendently divine, God does not pose a dichotomy, a choice. There is no choice between body or soul, between prose or poetry, between science or art. God evokes both and, not either or. The sacred realm we are invited to praise God in is the concrete material of everyday life. It's those chairs. It's these wires. It's even those kind of nasty, foamy communion crackers that we use now. These things are sacred. At the same time, the sacred realm of praise is the invisible poetry, the art that transcends these physical forms and functions with meaning that moves us and touches us in ways that words cannot express. But we know it's true because the passion in our souls aroused cannot deny it. Now, some of us feel more at home with the empirical sciences and the plain prose. Manny likes his reverse engineered flowcharts. It's a good thing. Others of us dwell much more easily in abstraction, in intuition, in metaphors to describe reality around us. Who could even describe Angela's song? That's hard to say. But if we, God's people, are to praise God in our earthly sanctuaries and the highest heavens, we'll need to have the poetic and the prosaic, the artistic and the scientific, the narrative and the forensic, all the voices raised together, shouting hallelujah. No single one of us holds the best or only way to praise God, so we need to listen and learn from each other. Listening and learning from each other is a wonderful thing, but there's a hidden danger in this as well. There's a temptation to hear the wide variety of traits that I just mentioned and feel a wave of shame. Where is that coming from? There's a temptation to instead of seeing who we are and viewing ourselves with kind eyes of compassion, we're tempted to look instead at what we're not and turn a critical eye on what God has made in us. Beloveds, don't neglect curious, tender, inquisitive, and compassionate affection for who you are, living and breathing, limited and broken. Don't neglect appreciation for what you are out of misplaced focus on what you aren't or simply aren't yet. And friends, you know that I am preaching to myself here. God has a word for me today. Psalm 150 points us to a safer place to look. When the list of everything that we aren't or can't or don't or won't piles up all around us, who God is and how God acts, why do we care to praise God? Why is God the rightful object of our praise? We praise God for his acts of power and his surpassing greatness, says the psalm. We praise God for who God is and what God does, because who God is contains all the multitudes of complete glory expressed partially like a spark in each unique one of us. In what God does, those mighty acts of power, the work of God moves mightily from the only source of divine justice and grace that can and will make the arc of the universe bend rightly. Only God is just in judgment, and only God's grace is boundless. God promises to never abandon or destroy his people, and in the end, God will restore his people to a final glory that outshines the first. Divine love and faithfulness are seen in the promise to send the Messiah, Jesus, who will, in the future of the Israelites, reading this for the first time, Jesus who will come to heal, renew all creation. So friends, brothers and sisters, and beloved, brave, gender-expansive friends. Like the psalm ending in the exaltation of restoration, I'm standing here preaching restoration for me and for you. After today, I'll have my name restored. I've been Pastor Hannah for a long time, and I've loved it. But for various reasons, the burden has proven too heavy a yoke for me to continue here. I'm being restored to myself and to you all as Hannah, just Hannah. I'll be a human who breathes and lives and thinks without the invisible weight of expectation that only God can meet. It wasn't my burden to begin with, and my efforts to find and hold peace against the pressure to pick up burdens I cannot bear have backfired. So I'm setting it down, I'm taking a deep breath, and I'm walking away. I'm breathing easier, letting God do God's work while I do my work. Praise. Hallelujah. Pray with me now. God, Trinity, Parent, Son, and Spirit, we praise you with our hopes sky high and our feet on the ground. We praise you because you have delivered us from every evil risk of death, and once again today, we are living and breathing. We praise you because you are real and you are good. And despite all our attempts to wander from your love, we find ourselves here yet again, held in the goodness of your body, your church, where you, Lord, feed and befriend us. Amen.